another week of What's Shaking with Lakin. And in the words of Dolly Parton, a peacock that rests on his tail feathers is just another turkey.
This is What's Shaking with Lakin. Come on in, get settled, and enjoy the show.
Hey, y'all, and welcome to the show. Did you like my Dolly Parton quote? I felt it was something I needed to insert for people to be like, what is she talking about? It fits. Just think about it. What is your own interpretation of it? I am coming off the high of a 5-day work week. I have been singing since last Thursday, and it feels like I've been all over the world, but I haven't even left the state this week. Last week, I did my regular residency at Good Times. Then Friday, I was called last minute to sing at the Landings for a welcome party. Saturday, I hit the road to Watkinsville, which is northeast Georgia, about 15 minutes away from Athens, Georgia, to play a wedding, only to stay the night, get brunch with a friend, and then head back to Savannah to play a wedding at Grove Point Plantation. And then on Monday evening, I played a closing reception for the Georgia Municipal Association at the Convention Center across the river on Hutchinson Island. Whew. My car has so many miles on it, and, you know, gas isn't cheap at the moment, and I always try to keep my car filled at all times. That way I don't have the sticker shock of how much it costs to fill the full tank, to fill my tank up. I just fill it up a little as I go, but with the big drives I had this weekend, it is now time to fill my tank up again, but it won't be as intense as it was to get to Atlanta. Not Atlanta, Athens. I'm sorry. Every time I think of North Georgia, I just think everything up there is Atlanta. The wedding on Saturday, it was at DGD Farms at Haddon Estates in Watkinsville, and DGD stands for Damn Good Dog. This is a blueberry farm that you can, aside from renting out the venue, you can go blueberry picking. It's very nice. It's a vibe. And the family have had this farm for quite a while, but they recently put money into building a venue there and creating another stream of income. So it's very beautiful, and the staff there are phenomenal. I had some amazing brunch the next day. Small world, because this place is called Mama's Boy in Athens, and their catering kitchen catered the wedding the night before. I didn't get to eat the food the night before because they just went to like Kroger and got fried chicken and, you know, ready to serve hot meals for the band for us to eat and get us out of the way so they could feed the family. And by the time they ate, the reception crowd ate, they told us we can go through the line too, but I wasn't nowhere near hungry. So I had brunch there the next day with my friend Ashley, who's also my booking agent as well. And I had an amazing pepper bowl. And if you're ever in Athens, check out Mama's Boy. I like their concept of how you can go in order. You can grab a menu, wait in line or step aside, get to the counter, order what you want, pay for it. They give you a number, and then you go sit at a table instead of you having to be seated, look at the menu, take forever to order. You know, this forces your hand. You go ahead and order, and then you sit down and wait for your food to come. And I like that concept. That's new to me. It, you know, it's like a to-go but sit-in that I've seen, and it worked effectively because I quickly decided what I wanted to eat. Let me tell you about this pepper bowl, which is technically named the Sausage and Peppers Bowl. It was huge. I had probably a quarter of it for brunch because I also had to get back on the road, drive 3.5 hours back, and I did not want to be sleepy. And this is a description of the peppers and sausage bowl. UGA sausage sauteed with bell peppers, onions, mushrooms, and spinach over a choice of fried potato hash or cheese grits, topped with poached eggs with chili garlic aioli, served with a choice of biscuit, whole wheat, or sourdough toast. So I am gritsed out for life. You know, I've met my maximum capacity of the grits I can eat in a lifetime. Let me put a pin in that note about grits. I'll come right back to it. But I decided to have the fried potato hash, which they were just little nuggets of potatoes. It was really good. And I got this bowl because I love vegetables, especially sauteed peppers and onions. And give me all of that and I am in heaven. The biscuit they gave me was as big as my hand. I'll put the post on my What's Shaking with Lakin IG story. But that biscuit was humongous, and I only ate the half of it. So I got it all packed up, got in the car. I also had a strawberry lemonade while I was there, which turns out the strawberry lemonade was the same lemonade they served at the wedding the night before. I said, oh, this, I knew this tasted familiar. And I was super ecstatic. Now, the downside of driving is I have an addiction to chewy ice. Thank you, Parkers, for that. It was one of those things when I was in the process of losing weight to increase my water intake. I just made sure I had water and chewy ice. But there are no Parkers in Northeast Georgia. So what do you do? Well, I learned one thing in Florida once. I learned if you stop at the racetrack, they have crushed ice. Like the icy type of ice almost. And I went there, I loaded up two extra large cups of ice and gassed up and hit the road because I was very careful about two XL cups of ice because that means your bladder is not going to last for 3.5 hours driving straight back to Savannah. Now, fast forward back to my pen where I said about grits. I don't mind grits. You know, I'm just gritted out. I should be shrimped out as well. Because every fucking wedding I play, it feels like everybody wants to serve shrimp and grits, shrimp and grits, shrimp and grits, shrimp and grits. And then sometimes they get creative. They want to sub the shrimp and grits for, what did they sub the grits with? Quinoa. Or they do red rice and they want to make it a healthy option. And make it with quinoa. Why do you do that, caterers? I'm not knocking it, but when you come to the South, there's nothing healthy about it. The only thing that's healthy is that we eat a lot of vegetables, but it's also smothered, covered for a reason. That's what makes Southern cuisine so good. But I skipped the grits because I just can't do it. And I've been that way a long time. Every now and then I may have a little hankering for smothered shrimp and grits. But that's when you go to Fancy Parker's downtown on Whitaker on Friday mornings and get their smothered shrimp and grits, you'll love it. Or I'll just get the shrimp and grits. I mean, I just get the shrimp smothered and skip the grits. I'll do that too because I'm weird like that. But it was an overall great weekend. Following getting back to Savannah, I did play at Grove Point Plantation. It's a very secret plantation, to say. It is privately owned by Great Dane Trailers, and the couple who happened to be getting married, the groom worked for Great Dane. So that was my first time going to Grove Point Plantation. It is deep in the pockets of Georgetown, which is a community right in the right outside the city limits of Savannah. So once you cross the bridge heading towards 95, that is Georgetown. It is deep back there, y'all. Like, when you get back there, once you get on Grove Point, you drive all the way down. It's like a five minute drive to get to the end. And it's nothing but trees, and there's some beautiful houses on the road there. But that part of Georgetown was expected to have a big boom in the early 2000s. And you can see there's gates that are boarded up or chained up now, where once the recession hit and the housing market crashed, those properties never recovered. And a lot of them are already marked for a house, for a building, but nobody's buying out there right now. Right now, I should say. I give it I give it a few years before it will start booming again. But you get to that dead end, and that's the gate to Grove Point. And then you get onto the avenue, which it leads to the big house. That avenue is probably like another 5 or 6 minute drive to get to the wedding ceremony. And it was beautiful. It was just way back there. And you also automatically know off the bat when the sun goes down, it is going to be pitch black out there. So we get out there. I almost felt as if I was at Fripp Island Plantation, because when you get across the gate, and it could be just a standard thing for plantations, there's a little cabin there, which is literally a slave quarter. And I looked it up, and it says that that's the driver's house for the plantation. So that's one of the few buildings on the that's still standing there on the property. There's some cottages there, but the two original slave quarters that are left are the driver's house and also the cook's house, which is behind the main house. The house that is built on Grove Point is not the original house. That home was built later on down the line after Sherman torched it, you know, on his march to sea for the Battle of Savannah. Now, once the Mercers in the 40s bought it, which it was George Mercer, Johnny Mercer's half-brother, purchased it, they added additions to the property along with some a restoration of the gardens and some cottages, actual cottages, not slave quarters, onto the property, and a playhouse. And I see that more has been done to it. There's a fountain there. There's another house down the way that is maybe a prep kitchen. I'm not quite sure. I didn't go down there to visit it more. But I do have some videos that I'm going to post on my page. And it was a beautiful wedding, to say the least. The mosquitoes did try to take me away. But it was right on the marsh. I mean, gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. It was just a treat to be able to finally see that plantation. But Monday we went to the convention center. I've been there 1,000 times, and we played for the Municipal Association of Georgia, and I think they just happened in Savannah have an excuse to party. So they had the closing reception on Monday, sponsored by AT&T and Georgia Power, and those people had a ball. I'm pretty sure most of them were tired, and a lot of them left early because they had to hit the road the next day. And we were tired too, because all of us had been playing all weekend as well. And I dumped out the rest of what I had, and I gave it all I had. And Tuesday, I was hoarse. I could not talk. So I took some time for vocal rest. I knew better, because I had to go to vocal lessons that evening with Paul. And when I got in there, I said, "Paul, I don't have much of a voice." He's like, "Okay, you know, we're going to work it out." And I'm the person, if I do a longer warm-up, my notes will come back quickly. And not that day. I got about 5 notes of the scale, and I had nothing to give, so he kicked me out. He told me to come back early next week, and we will revisit doing those notes again. I said, "Don't worry about it, Paul. I should have worn my in-ears over the weekend. I just tried to sing above an 8-piece band all weekend." It happens, and I know I'm at fault for it. I should have warmed up to begin with, but that's neither here nor there. But it was a great weekend. I made money. Bills have to get paid. And, you know, you just live to see another day. So now here we are, moving into 4th of July weekend. Where did June go, y'all? I just feel that June started. I've had some crazy gigs this month, but it just didn't feel like June went that fast. I'm still referring back to April, when I did all the gigs I could possibly squeeze into a calendar and felt like that bitch was never going to end. But June kind of went quickly, and I'm happy with it. July and August are going to be a little bit slower, you know, but me, I'm also ready to rev it back up and try to get into places and do a few gigs. 4th of July it's a little heavy right now for us. You know, a lot of things are happening in the world. A lot of things are happening in our own backyard with the politics and policies and procedures that are changing. No need to dive deep into that. You've done enough of that for me to say, yes, the times are tough right now and not cover it. But One thing that is happening in Savannah is the increased gun violence. I always make sure that I get active alerts from Savannah Police Department on Twitter, because they post everything first before it goes anywhere else, before the news even kind of gets a hold of it. And last night, which was Tuesday, I realized there were two shootings on Montgomery Street. And this past weekend when I was out of town, there was a shooting right in the heart of City Market downtown. If this continues to happen between now and the weekend, our mayor is looking to impose curfews to curb this. And it's not a permanent fix, but it's something temporary till we can figure out what to do. It reminds me of when I went to Mexico for Christmas. You know how everybody's like, be careful, be careful. Now, in Savannah, our force could use more ground presence, but is that the answer? You know, I feel we're conditioned differently from other places. For instance, when I went to Mexico, the cops in Playa del Carmen ride with machine guns on the back of the police truck. Now imagine, like, think of Scarface when he's out the window with the assault rifle. That's literally how the police ride on the back of the trucks. And they're also, because there's so many resorts and poverty is so magnified over there. They also sit in trees with guns. Like, if you don't feel safe there, something's wrong. They are also on ground all the time. They're on motorcycles. They're on horses. They are everywhere. So their presence is known, and you know not to fuck with the police. And I can't say the same would happen for us here. We have a lot more liberties than what's happening over in Mexico. But I definitely felt safe being over there. And coming back around to Savannah, I avoid downtown during the holidays, especially 4th of July weekend, because you never know what's going to happen. I still think about that time we played the Westin. Even though it was across the bridge on Hutchinson Island, I remember coming back to Savannah, and downtown was just flashing blue and red. I thought it was a terrible wreck that happened, and that's when I went on home, went to bed, and found out the next day that someone was killed. These teenagers went to shoot someone and kill them. Police chased them. They got back onto Bay Street. They shot at the car. The car flipped. A former bartender ended up getting killed trying to save two kids. He pushed them out the way, and he died as a result. And the car flipped and killed everyone inside the vehicle except for one person. And I was like, wow, that is, if nothing else, that is my end to hanging around downtown during 4th of July. I would go other places. I do have plans for other places for 4th of July, but yeah, definitely won't be downtown. And it's not to discourage anybody who wants to visit downtown Savannah for 4th of July. It's just a, you know, this could happen, but it also can happen in any other city as well. Just be cautious and aware of your surroundings. If it feels like it's a little rocky, get out of Dodge as quickly as you can. I don't want to sour anybody's 4th, but I also want everyone to stay safe. So with that in mind, please stay safe this 4th of July weekend. Drink responsibly, boat responsibly. Memorial Day, you know, 10:30 in the morning, there was a head-on boat crash that killed a lot of people. So boat responsibly. Just be responsible all around, and make sure that you have a great, happy, and safe weekend. All right, so let's move away from the downtown violence of Savannah, and let's move to a different type of violence. Who has been watching P-Valley? P-Valley Season 2 is wild this season. Oh my goodness, I've seen more peeing on this show than I've ever seen in any form of television. I live for Uncle Clifford. I live for him, for for her, I should say. I live for Uncle. She is a woman. I live for Uncle Clifford. She is the best. She takes care of her girls. She doesn't let shit pop off in her club. She is the epitome of a bad bitch. I told someone the other day, I was like, listen, I'm just trying to write, inspire, and be a bad bitch. Those are the only three things I'm trying to be right now. And it is pretty wild, you know. I love to see the character development that has happened with all the cast. Autumn's not on my good side. I mean, I kind of never trusted Autumn, you know, a little light-skinned heifer, as they call her. And some of the characters, I'm like, I don't know. Mississippi broke my heart last season. Mercedes is my girl through and through. Lil Murder, he's still trying to figure out what he wants to do and in what time he wants to be, you know, able to not give a fuck about anything. His music is growing. It's getting better. Loretta Devine, God bless. Give that lady her flowers while she is living. She tickles my soul every time I watch P-Valley. The new cast, who we have Roulette, which I remember her. Everybody says she was on Snowfall. I haven't watched Snowfall, but I remember her as Molly's ghetto coworker on Insecure. And she ended up getting fired or sat down. I don't know if she was demoted or fired, but the people in the office were like, yeah, you're a little too much. So they try to get Molly to talk to her, like, hey, you're both black. Why don't you talk to each other? And she's like, no, you're in charge. You know who, what, how you want this company ran and how you want your employees to act. It would be best if it came from you. Touche, Molly. Touche. It's great to see Roulette. I mean, to see the actress playing Roulette back. She's a very tortured soul. I'm trying to figure out where she's going from here. But she is hoeing it up on this particular season. Well, I think in the episode for last, you know, she was hoeing it up. Whisper. I don't know about Whisper. I'm trying to figure it out. I feel her intentions are for good. But I also feel they're not. She's a huge empath. And I want to know what she's felt in the building so far. And are she and Roulette like fire and ice? Are they scammers that go to different strip clubs? Are they really together, but they're trying to con money out of them? I don't know. That's why I'm waiting for this moment when Diamond meets Whisper. I feel that meet there will kind of establish where Whisper sits in my mind. Now, everybody's hella acting in this series, in this season. I can't take that away from them. Even Mercedes and her coach situation, which I had to go back and watch the first season of P-Valley, and I realized that Coach isn't the same Coach from last season. And I was like, why does Coach look so different? Even when she said, oh, you look different from in the daylight. Nah, this is a completely different dude. And also hope Mercedes gets her daughter back. I feel she deserves it. As much as you want to hate Pastor Patrice Woodbine, you can't help but rock with this lady. When she did Where the Blessings Reside, I was like, damn, I want to hate her, but this song is lit. If you haven't watched the show yet, I'm not giving away everything, but I'm just skirting a few things in the show. Where the Blessings Reside, I was like, this is it. And I also love how a lot of these people who have achieved viral success are in the show. I can't think of the guy's name who sings Where the Money Resides. He's in the show, you know. And a lot of TikTok people, when they did the stripper auditions, the big white guy that's really light on his feet, he was in there. Who else was in there? There's one more influencer I'm missing, but I love to see it happen. These people are given their flowers. while they're still here. And I'm so glad that they're able to put their name on a bigger platform. So kudos to P-Valley. Kudos to Uncle Clifford. I stand for Uncle Clifford all day. Her and Mercedes, I should say. I'm sorry once again. But yeah, that's my take on P-Valley. I hope you're watching it too if you have Stars. There's a lot of issues within the show. Not to say personal issues I have, but just a lot of issues that are covered. You know, you got to think about Uncle Clifford is a man who dresses as a woman, and him dealing with having a relationship with a guy who isn't openly gay, but wants to have a relationship with Clifford, but just doesn't know how his rap career will affect him. And then in the recent episode, he turns out he had a boyfriend when he was locked up. It came to light, you know, you're like, damn, I didn't see this coming. And also the guy playing the friend who got out of prison was in another TV show. He was kind of like a preppy guy, Zoe's Infinite Playlist. It shit blew my mind, but that just tells you the levels these actors are on to play these roles. And then you have Mississippi. She's in an abusive relationship with damn Derek, nobody likes. And she's gone on tour with Lil Murder. And literally her and Lil Murder are best friends, and they're covering up the act that she knows he's gay. And she's there riding for her friend and pretending that they're together to entice more people to come to the shows. So check out P-Valley. The levels of writing on this is just phenomenal, and I can't wait to see where this show grows from there. And another show I stand for is back for its fourth season. I don't know if you watch this or not. It may be a little too deep for y'all, but this show is called Evil on CBS. The guy who played Luke Cage is in the show as a priest. Well, he just became priest in this season, but the past few seasons he was a priest in training who is selected to help with paranormal situations that are happening. And he teams up with a psychologist and an atheist who is an amazing scientist. And I love the way that the show is written because it gives three different vantage points between the church, a person who doesn't believe in possession but believes that there's some type of scientific reasoning for it happening, and then another person who doesn't really believe in church but has a psychology background and is can help, you know, break through the mind issues. It is amazing. I mean, I definitely don't, it's way too deep for me to discuss on this podcast because we'd be here forever and a day, but just check it out. Watch a trailer, watch a few behind the scenes of Evil. It will blow your mind, and I stand for that show as well. But once again, Evil on CBS, too many levels to explain. I just want to let you know I stand for it and you should watch it. Some other quick shows I'm currently watching is Loot with Maya Rudolph, and that is on Apple TV. Her husband, who had nothing when they married, and they built a $1 billion empire. And I think she's like worth, I don't know, $68 billion or whatever. Finds out on her birthday her husband is cheating on her with his assistant. And she goes to divorce him because there were no prenup signed because they didn't have any money. She ended up getting half of his empire. And then it turns out she has a nonprofit that they're asking her to come in for, because once she got divorced, she got a little wild and got a little belligerent. And they were like, hey, you're misrepresenting our nonprofit. Can you do this, that, and the third? So she's trying to discover herself and not be some reckless rich woman who is just completely aloof of her situations. AJ Rodriguez, who you know as Blanca from Pose, is the director of the nonprofit. I love the energy that he is giving in the show, or she is giving in the show. I'm terrible with pronouns, forgive me, but you definitely want to watch this. And the soundtrack to this, there are some banging songs on this TV show. It's a lighthearted comedy on Apple Plus. You will definitely enjoy it. So check out Loot. Another one, another horror one, you know, I got to have a balance, is The Baby on HBO. This show is a limited series about a woman whose friends have kids and she is the childless one. And she just has a resentment for life until she ends up with this baby. This woman, she goes to have a holiday away, and this baby falls into her arms. That the mother fell off the cliff, and the baby end up falling into her arms. And the baby is actually an entity that attaches to the mother. And if they feel the mother isn't doing right, then the baby kills the mother. And it is a very dark comedy that you will thoroughly enjoy if you're into the macabre like I am. And I highly, highly think you should watch this as you watch this woman become a mother to this baby that refuses to get older. And my last one, What We Do in the Shadows from FX Network. What We Do in Shadows is a hilarious faux reality show about vampires. And go back and watch the first few seasons. You will not be disappointed. You definitely need this in your life. And there's the vampires who have been around forever, and they're just obnoxious. And then you have an energy vampire who... Colin Robinson, and he's the one that talks to you in a very monotone voice, and he tells you various random bits of information that are pointedly useless. And as you are sinking into the ground, as your energy is being sucked from you, he is powering up. So then you'll see him like growing hair, you'll see him getting youthful. It is quite hilarious. The puns and jabs in this show, you got to be quick to catch on to what's happening. So What We Do in the Shadows on FX is coming back in a few weeks. I could talk about TV shows all day because I definitely have time for them sometimes, since I am a stay-at-home musician during the day. But what are you watching? Let me know what you're watching. Let's talk about it. Let me see if I can binge it. I'm very particular about the shows I watch, so whenever I do commit to one, I take it all the way there. So that's my TV commentary for the week. All right, so back to some fun stuff to do in Savannah. As you know, it's now officially summer and the pools are open. As a local, I don't head out to Tybee much because traffic is just too insane to get out there. But when you're traveling in, it's well worth it to hit the beach at Tybee. Whether you go to Tybee, Jekyll, Hilton Head, you know, it creates a funnel when you're going to the beach, and especially beaches that are one way on and one way off. If there's a wreck, you're not going anywhere for a while. So I definitely avoid it during the holidays as well. I keep saying I avoid all these things. I don't want to make it sound like I'm being negative. It's just, I don't like to waste my time. And I like to get the most out of my time when I do want to do something fun with my friends, or either if I'm on a solo adventure by myself. Now, I found a website. It is called resortpass.com, and it gives you info on pools in your area that are accessible without having to book a night at the hotel. And I looked up Savannah, and I saw that there are two hotels that are offering day passes to enjoy their pool. The first pool is the Alida. It's located in the heart of downtown in City Market. Their day pass runs about $35, same for a child, and infants are free. Now, the pool, they have an outdoor heated waiting pool, poolside food and drink service from the pool bar Friday through Saturday. Additional food and beverages are available from the Rhett Restaurant and the Lost Square Rooftop Bar. Also, the fitness center is available, as well as fire pits, which you don't need in the summertime, complimentary Wi-Fi, and you can also pay for valet. Now, this pass is available every day. The pool is open from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Friday through Sunday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And it also gives times for different restaurants that are open at the Alita as well. Now, another option they have is on Sundays. They call it the Alita Sunday Swim. Instead of $35, it is $20 to access the pool. Now, also the cabanas are available for rental as well. If you want to book the cabana, it seats up to 4 people. And all the amenities that I listed are included in the day pass. And it is a private shaded cabana with premium sofa seating and complimentary bottled water. Unfortunately, no pets, no smoking, no glass, and no outside food and drinks are allowed in the cabana. But you are able to enhance your cabana experience with several options from the bar and restaurant. Our next hotel that has a resort pass for a pool day is the Thompson Savannah. The Thompson is the newest hotel located in Eastern Wharf here in downtown Savannah. Eastern Wharf is the east end of River Street, which is where River Street ends. And please visit the Thompson for dinner at the Fleeting on the first floor, or go up to Bar Julian to the bar at sunset. You want to see the view from the Thompson's balcony. It is to die for, especially if you've been to Savannah several times and you've been to, say, you've been to Electric Moon, or all of us locals who all went to the Bohemian on First Fridays to hang out at sunset. This view from the Thompson, from the eastern end, will blow your mind because you see so much more River Street and the bridge, the Talmadge Bridge sitting in the distance. It's a mood. It's a vibe. It's where you want to be. But we're not talking about the vibes of the hotel for sunset from the rooftop. We're talking about the pool. Now, the Thompson has a few options to access their pool. First is the day pass that starts at $25. That includes an outdoor heated pool, poolside lounge chairs, which are first come, first serve, towel service, poolside drink service from the pool bar, which is available Friday through Sunday. Additional food and beverages are available from Bar Julian Rooftop Bar, Fleeting Restaurant, and Lobby Bar, Fitness Center, complimentary Wi-Fi, and garage parking for a fee. You must be 21 and up to access this pass. The next one is the Daybed Cabana. This starts at about $160 for a total of 4 people. This includes all the amenities I listed before. And this is a private shaded cabana with premium comfort sofa, lounge chair seating, that comes with a ceiling fan, dedicated server who's available from 12 to 6 p.m. Saturdays and Sundays, and complimentary bottled water. You also have to be 21 and up to access this pass. The final one is the regular cabana. It's for up to 4 people, which includes all amenities included in the day pass I had mentioned before. It's a private shaded cabana with premium comfort sofa seating, dedicated server from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. Saturdays and Sundays, and complimentary bottled water. Now, their pool is open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. The pool bar is Friday through Sunday from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. and also lists the times of Bar Julian, the rooftop bar, as well as the Fleeting restaurant on the first floor and the main lobby's bar as well. Those are the only two available here at Savannah. I wish, I believe if you get a golf membership at the Westin, that automatically includes passes for the pool, if I'm not mistaken. There's an amazing pool at Plant Riverside that they built, but that one's only accessible for guests. It hasn't opened up to the public. But it looks like it's a great time to be had up there. I need to find a way up there and tell y'all about it. But there are also other community pools that are offering annual memberships for either single users or family packages. I know that of great variety, including Savannah Quarters and other surrounding communities are opening up their pools for people to pay a yearly membership. But if you're not looking for a yearly membership, you don't pool like that. Like, I don't pool like that to put money into a membership. But if a friend did and I get a pass, I get to go with them. I mean, it's worth it. But I would rather hang out at some of these hotel pools just to feel like it's a mini staycation. So live it up, swim it up, float it up, drink it up this summer, and let's see what else we can get into Savannah while we're traveling through or having a staycation. Well, now that we're heading back to our car and leaving downtown for those pool passes, we are going to head back down past Forsyth on Whitaker, and we're going to ease on past 37th, where we're going to land on 40th and Whitaker. Right here, this is where Starland Yard is. Starland District is a historic treasure here in Savannah, as it was once home to the Starland Dairy. Where the dairy was once located after a vandalization, they have restored those shops and have added some new features. Like, you have Back in the Day Bakery, you have Two Tides Brewing, you have Super Bloom, which is an amazing coffee shop, and various trinkets made by local Savannah artists. And you have a veterinary clinic, you have all the things you need to make a little hipster neighborhood happening. And with Starland Yard, it is an added gem to have this treasure here, which is also my neighborhood too. So I'm kind of partial when I hype this place up. But Starland Yard has been in Savannah, I want to say, about 5 years now. It is a food truck park. They took the parking lot that once was there and made it into this fun food truck park. They were creative in the build out, as they used old shipping containers to build the outer realm of the park. And they have AstroTurf down. They have large Jenga blocks, and the bays can fit about 6 food trucks in there, I believe. I'm not exactly sure, but on the weekends it gets really packed. You know, everyone's off for the weekend. They rev up the variety that they do have, and food trucks come in different shifts. So they have the daytime shift, and around 4 or 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock when they reopen, or when the pizza place reopens, that's their another shift of food trucks come in. Now, aside from food trucks, Vittoria is their standalone pizzeria there. Those pizzas are cooked in a fire brick oven. They are pretty tasty. And they also have a standalone bar there at Starland Yard as well. There's a 2-story shelter there with amazing AstroTurf. So on the weekends, all the babies are there, all the toddlers and dogs. So just be aware of the feel. It's more family friendly. You have everything from a cookie food truck to a Mac Attack food truck that could be there. Different varieties of Asian cuisine, Gullah Geechee food. I mean, you name it, they have had it. And they have another part of their of the Starland Yard that is accessible when they open the gate, and it turns into a little bazaar of some sorts. They have different vendors out there selling everything from clothes to herbal remedies and everything else underneath the sun, minus alcohol. The bar is the only place that sells alcohol. But it's a great time to be had. They do, since it's summertime now, have summer movies at the yard. And this is on Wednesdays and Thursdays. So to give you an idea, last week they had Shrek. Today they had Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, which is today, Wednesday. On July 7th, on next week, they're playing A League of Their Own. July 13th, they're playing The Goonies. July 21st, they're playing Top Gun. July 28th, Spaceballs. And wrapping up the summer movies at the Yard on August 3rd, they're playing Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark. So that's fun for the family to have. Amazing food trucks there. Bands on Sundays. DJs during the week. DJs on the weekends as well. Music trivia. Regular trivia. Music bingo. You name it. Starling Yard is definitely a place to be in the summertime. Now, where else can we skip to while we're in our summer mode? All right, let's do it. Let's hop on down to Tybee Island. Tybee Island is about a 20-minute drive from Savannah. It is a small, quaint little community full of beach bums, full of life. But word to the wise is if you're driving onto Tybee, once you get onto Tybee, slow down, okay? Do the speed limit or do it right under. The police there do not play, and they will ticket you with no ease. But this particular restaurant that we're heading to today is not deep into Tybee Island, but it is close enough that you still should slow down before you get there. And this restaurant is called the Deck Beach Bar and Kitchen. It is located in Beachside Colony Resort. This place used to be, if you're familiar with Tybee Island, it is on the left-hand side once you... Is it around the bend or before the bend? The big bend that when you're heading toward the Strand. It used to be Marlon Monroe's back in the day. And Anthony DeBrasini and his restaurant group came in and gutted the place out. And they named it The Deck because that was all that was visible of the restaurant when they gutted the restaurant out. And it's beautiful. It has cuisines that flavor tastings of Australian cuisine, Hawaiian cuisine, and coastal flavors. They are rocking and rolling now that they are in the middle of summer. And it is definitely a place you want to be. They've coined themselves the only beachfront restaurant on Tybee Island. Now, there are other restaurants that do sit at the beach, but there's a big parking lot blocking them. You can also say North Beach Grill is a beachfront. Well, they have a parking lot in front of them too. So yes, they are the only beachfront restaurant on Tybee. And I just want to name a few things on the menu. So you can get a salad. You can get a wedge salad. They have avocado toast. You can get tacos. You can get a burger. You can get a chicken burger. You can get a shrimp burger. What else they have? You can get a poke bowl, a low country bowl, fish and chips, peel and eat shrimp, oysters on the half shell, clams, a variety of things for everyone of all ages. And if you're unsure about your allergies or the kids menu, be sure to ask your server when you do go there. And Tybee, the Deck Beach Bar and Kitchen, I'm sorry, I'm getting so excited talking about this, is located at 404 Butler Avenue on Tybee Island. Now, what tickles my fancy are the cocktails. Let's go through those. They have a large variety of frozen drinks, and that's all I'm going to cover. So you need to make your way towards the decktybee.com to look at their amazing menu. But they have pina coladas, strawberry daiquiris, mudslides, a Miami Vice, a watermelon daiquiri, peach margaritas, mango frozen drink, vanilla, and a frosé. And frosé is a delicacy here in Savannah. So I can tell you a few places that you can get amazing frosé from. The Deck on Tybee, of course. Perry Lane at the Peregrine, their rooftop bar. And also, sometimes Starling Yard will have a frosé in rotation as well as the Grove located downtown off Congress and Jefferson. Frosés are a thing. It's hot outside, so we don't want to drink wine and sweat profusely, but we don't mind being chilled and drinking a frozen frosé. So be sure to check out those places and also look up the Deck on Tybee Island. Now, Anthony does own a few more restaurants. He owns Collins Quarter as well as Collins Quarter at Forsyth Park. And his other restaurant is the Fitzroy. And then the next restaurant is a ramen place, which is located on Bull Street. I have to come back to you with the name. I don't remember, but they just opened a few weeks ago. So check out the Deck, Beach Bar and Kitchen on Tybee. And let's drop by one more place before we head home from our summer trip. All right. Are you tired yet? You know, we started with our resort pool pass. We went to two pools today. We lounged at the Cabana, had some drinks. From there, we went on down to Starland Yard to enjoy some food truck cuisine, some pizzas, a little more drinking at the outdoor bar. Went to see a DJ, you know, just had a great chill day with the family. Then from there, we hopped on down in our convertible to Tybee Island to enjoy the beach views and have some frozen drinks at the Deck. Now we're going to wrap up the tour. The sun is starting to set. It's starting to get a tad bit cooler. And how else would we end our night without going on a ghost tour? And specifically, a ghost tour that takes you on a ride of a lifetime in the back of a hearse. Yes, the Ghost Hearse Tours have been around since 2002. They have very entertaining drivers who take you around downtown to various haunted spots, hot spots of downtown Savannah. I know I've been on this tour once and it's been a minute and I drink a lot, but I do know they go to Laurel Grove South and they do have a, there's a infant section in Laurel Grove South of babies who died rather young or were stillborn. Sometimes in the night you can see little orbs floating through the cemetery. There's also various sightings of different spirits that have been seen at Laurel Grove South. Laurel Grove South is a huge cemetery on the west end of Savannah and has very famous Savannians buried there, such as Juliet Gordon Lowe, who is the founder of Girl Scouts. They used to take, I'm not sure if they still do, but they used to take the guests down to 432 Abercorn Street, and it is allegedly Savannah's most haunted house. Now, in the past few years since COVID began, the house has been remodeled, and it doesn't look as scary as it used to look. But there are tales of seeing people in the windows. Allegedly, a little girl used to go to the school across the street wanting to play with the children. The school is off of Calhoun Square, the Massey School. This little girl's father allegedly was a captain. Her mom died when she was fairly young, and she just wanted to go play with the kids. But the Massey School was a school for the poor and children of color. So she was found playing with the kids. Her father scolded her, took her back in the house, allegedly tied her to a chair, and had her watch those kids play from outside. And somewhere in there, she died from exposure. So that is one of the many tales of 432 Abercorn. And there's some similar situations that have happened later on. But those are just one of the many things that the entertaining tour guides tell you on this tour, and how many times do you get to ride on the back of a hearse? You know, it's just the feeling of riding in the back of a hearse. And if you're 21 and up, you can bring at the max a 16-ounce cup on the ride. Now, this cup cannot be glass. It has to be styrofoam or plastic or a little bendy silicone to be able to come on board. But that is definitely worth a visit for the Ghost Hearse Tour. You will definitely love it. It's also amazing to see those trees from an exposed roof as you're riding about downtown. Now, as a resident, it's annoying when they're just slowly creeping down the squares, but as a tourist, when I do get to finally play one, it's well worth every moment to share with some friends. So now the night is over. Now you have a choice if you're going back to your hotel or to your home, if this was a staycation, or take a nap. Take a hot nap. You know, the sun just went down, so there's still plenty of time. The bars don't close till 3 o'clock. Or you can just go in and enjoy everything that you soaked up about Savannah and jot down a few things that you did miss and put on your list for the next time you return or you take that staycation. I thank you so much for joining with me and also diving into my love of Savannah and everything I love about this place that makes it my home. And I hope to see you again soon. But wait, don't leave me yet. We still have dating horror stories to cover. All right, let's go. This week's episode comes from Reddit. And it says, late, but here goes. Worst date. Massive crush on a guy for months and he finally asked me out. I was so nervous that I drank half a bottle of port on an empty stomach before going to meet him. We head out and he takes me to a new bar his friend just opened. Champagne on the house. Everything was becoming a blur and I was feeling no pain. We decide to head back to his house via cab. This is when I recreate the scene from The Exorcist in the back of the vehicle. Mostly it's a port champagne cocktail. After him tipping the cabbie an extra 50 to fumigate his upholstery, we head into his cool flat where we both agree that I need a bath. Cue hot soapy bubbles from his long-suffering guy, and I manage to lock the door and sink under the sweet-scented foam. Bliss. Until I come around and him dragging me out of the bath. Apparently he'd been knocking for a while and I was semi-conscious and slipping under the water. I woke up in his bed naked the next morning. Horrific hangover with the bathroom door kicked down and the door flaming splinters. When I asked if we did it, he replied in the negative, stating it would have been like necrophilia. Amazingly, we did continue to go out for quite a while after that. I would have been so embarrassed. I would have went home and never called him again. Goodness. Reddit gives me the best of what I never thought I needed info in my life. But if you have a crazy dating story or know of one, send them to me. Message me. Send me a voice message. Send me something on Instagram. DM me on What's Shaking with Lakin, or send me an email at whatsshakingwithlakin@gmail.com. But that is all for today. I hope you've had a lot of fun on this journey as we have visited and traipsed throughout beautiful southern Savannah, Georgia. I am Lakin Love, your host once again, and I will see you next week. You've been listening to What's Shaking with Lakin. If you haven't already, please, 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 please give us a quick review and rating on iTunes. And don't forget, you can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We will see you next week, same time, same place. Bye, y'all.
Ow! Oh, my God. You look like the 4th of July. It makes me want a hot dog real bad. Oh, my God. You look like the 4th of July. It makes me want a hot dog real bad.
Ow!
Oh, my God. You look like the 4th of July. It makes me want a hot dog real bad.
Ow!
Oh, my God. You look like the 4th of July. It makes me want a hot dog real bad.
Al!
Oh, my God. You look like the 4th of July. It makes me want a hot dog real bad.
This is What's Shaking with Lincoln. Come on in, get settled, and enjoy the show. This is What's Shaking with Lincoln. Come on in, get settled, and enjoy the show. This is What's Shaking with Lincoln. Come on in, get settled, and enjoy the show.
Al!
Oh my God. You look like the 4th of July. It makes me want a hot dog real bad.